guys prefer this to be on my necktie, or would you want it on my vest instead? It'll be more concealed on my vest, but it doesn't matter. It's up to you.
As long as it doesn't scratch. I'm not hearing any static right now.
It should. It should be fine.
Eric, are you seeing the peaking on bird skin? All right, it's going up.
Jay, do you have your phone with you?
Yeah.
Would you mind, at some point, just shoot a couple of steel for me?
Yep.
Of the setting? It's, yeah, whenever.
Yeah, once I watch you set some.
Yeah, whenever, just at some point.
Okay,
yeah.
We'll do it now.
And then whoever's on that camera, I just need them to give me, maybe give me a 20-minute time
can
here.
You see,
yes, I can.
Okay. So, Brandon, if you give me like a 20-minute time cue.
Okay, sure.
And then maybe a hard at 30.
Sure.
That way I know I'm at 30. And then it'll just, it'll end when it ends at that point.
Sounds okay.
Yeah, I'll just run a timer on my phone.
Thank you, man.
No problem.
All right, she will be down shortly. She's
cool.
Adjusting some eyebrows.
Sounds good.
That's what I just did. I'm not always this beautiful.
Right. He went to his telephone booth, got his makeover.
Hey, man.
Right.
Superman does it, why not?
Eric, everything looking good on your end?
And Lord, I'm going to feel. Your last name's Fryson?
It is.
I'm going to feel weird not standing when she gets here because I'm kind of wired to this chair in my leg. So maybe let her know that that's why.
Yeah, I feel which can.
So she says, so I'm not being offensive.
Okay.
Because typically I would stand.
Just got a message from text from Fred. Please make sure Merv's mix is dressed.
My mix is dressed?
His mic is dressed.
I guess he means mic.
Yeah. Why did she say that?
Because that's been kind of problematic for some here and there.
Meaning like it gets scratched?
It gets, it'll fall out of place if I move or
James,
or something.
On that white shot, is this light visible? I didn't double check.
I think
she
just didn't keep an eye on it.
Is it what?
Can you see this light here?
I mean, I can, but I can't really tell what it is.
Yeah, it blends in with the monitors. I didn't notice it when I was over there.
Can't really complain about that.
Okay, blends in. Good enough?
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to move this bag out.
And then once we're done, before the chairs move, we just got to make sure that. And actually, never mind, because we already taped the mics. So once we're done, we just got to make sure that we put the chairs back and get that shot without the mics.
Yep.
I might put some gap on the ground just so if the chairs move.
Yeah, good call. Merv, I got the word from Fred. Your mic looks okay.
Okay, good. I don't know what I'd do without her.
Yeah, she's looking out.
Not sure what they're paying over there at the here now, but I've got a job for her and my staff doing exactly that. Dressing my mic. Making sure it's...
Yeah, she wanted to thank you for letting her know that.
Oh, good. Just know I don't want to come off as being rude.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to fall down. Although Lloyd, if I did, it would go viral and
we have PBS and Rick Dancing right in front of boys.
Oh gosh.
All right, well she'll be down in like 1 minute.
No problem, yeah. All right, man.
Don't fade too far. We need you, brother. We need you.
All right.
Thanks,
man. Thanks
a lot, Lloyd.
We're waiting.
Yeah.
My brother.
Hello.
How are you doing? Sorry, we created a bunch of...
one stand thing, she'd have to interrupt and shut me down.
Hello.
That's a no.
Hi. Nice to meet you. I'm James. I'm a videographer.
Hi, James.
Hi.
Hi,
Brandon.
Nice to meet you. And
oh!
Oh, you're fine.
So nice to meet you. I'm Merv.
Hi, Merv. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Pleasure to see you.
You, too. I love your casual Friday look.
We had a late meeting last week. That's what I heard.
Probably an everyday thing. You get to be a little cash in your role, I guess.
Yeah, just a little bit on Fridays, and especially when we have those late meetings.
I've been.
Oh yeah.
You guys were here till 12:30 last night.
Just about.
Wow.
Crazy. You know, after 10 o'clock, you know, I can't really.
I know it gets a little fuzzy.
Yep.
Yeah. Thanks, Sarah.
He's gonna stick a mic on.
Yeah.
You.
So this will kind of come like we'll kind of try and hide it along your sweater.
Okay.
So I'll just clip it here, and then I'll just kind of leave it to you to dress the cable on the inside. And you do the, well, I guess it already has the loop, right? Or
what's the question?
At this point. Well, maybe not that. Let me see if I can, maybe I'll put it on this side, because then the mic will stick.
Only problem is if we cross it like that, it's gonna mess up how you're going to be able to hide it.
But I think I can take it back behind. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's going to be kind of confusing. Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
And then will it kind of sit around? Yeah. And then maybe just, yep.
There you go.
Yep, that works. And then thanks. Appreciate it.
You brought a check sheet?
I did.
You ain't gonna need that.
You sure?
Yeah, we're just here.
I know. Okay. Yeah, so say
what's that? What's that?
That's what they always say.
I mean, we got
60
minutes.
Right?
No, he explained to you how, did you get a chance to look at any of the things we've done in the past on our In Focus segment? Because it's literally just a casual conversation.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
I think Chairman Korn might have did an In Focus segment.
We just started this, so they have not.
Okay, he was the previous chair.
Literally just started this.
Okay.
And I've done about five of them.
Yeah.
But it really is just a casual conversation. It's all in your wheelhouse. It's never anything that's going to catch you off guard, you know. And, and obviously if it's something you don't want to chat about, you're okay to do that.
Okay.
The main thing is it's a chance to not for us to not be scripted, because I don't really write my questions down. I just kind of...
Mm-hmm.
Get a general idea of what I'm going to talk about and just kind of go where things lead. So that's the main thing.
Okay.
And I know you're going to be a lot more natural and comfortable
if
you don't have notes in your hand.
Yeah, true.
I know you don't carry those around when you just talk.
No. So not when I'm visiting with everyone, right?
That's why I would say,
yeah.
I think you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not live or anything. Again, it's just a tape segment. And
is this
ideally, we'd like to get to a 30-minute mark.
Okay.
Then we'll kind of start wrapping up at that point.
Okay.
I just don't want you to feel like you have to be tied to that, because it's going to make you look
uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable because it's not natural, and
you're
going to look scripted.
Okay. Yeah.
And the whole idea is that this is not scripted. That's the beautiful part about this segment.
Okay.
Because we don't have to keep our answers and my questions to 10 seconds.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can try that.
I mean, if you feel like you're really
just
into,
a couple,
I certainly can respect that, but I would just say that.
Okay.
Ideally,
it's still there.
It'll probably look better if you.
Is it this or is it the window?
Just sat and chatted with me.
Okay.
You know, I don't think it's. You know, I don't think we're going to be talking about anything that you haven't talked about.
No, it's definitely
that. Anything that you don't know.
Right.
Still
especially when I've learned so much about.
The light is the worst.
You know, your work.
But we definitely
tried over the years.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Can I offer you a water? We do have water available.
That should be okay.
I just don't know if I have
And they may not. We'll have to make sure it's not in our shot.
You
set it down.
Gone.
Yeah, I'll keep it out of the way. On this side
water,
or this side?
We're getting a little bit.
We're definitely still getting it.
Hey, is her water going to be in the shot if she has it down there like that?
No. Well, in the wide it will be, actually, yeah.
In the wide.
I can set it over here.
Yeah.
If you get in a situation, you can just grab it, because we could edit around that and put things together. So.
Okay.
And I should be okay.
So now, it's a huge bright spot on that wall. Too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll just have to.
I think we might have to just
make it.
You know. Work.
Okay,
so you guys started at 8 last night, and you were here till after midnight.
4:30.
Sorry, wow, you started really early.
It's a bit.
Just had a lot to go through. Is that typical?
So we had a public hearing last night on some of the ordinances. So we started a little bit early. And then some of the things that we had on the agenda was a lot of discussion from tribal members. So we had a lot of tribal members chiming in. And
you get a lot of participation.
We did last night. Yeah. there's meetings when we don't have too much.
Yeah.
You know, and
but
yeah, we do. We have a lot of agenda items, and we meet every 2 weeks, so it's still a lot to cover. So if we're out of here before 10, that's a good meeting. But some of them, you know, they can go pretty long. You know, and I remember during the pandemic, there was long meetings, but we were at home all zooming in.
Oh, I see.
So when you're home and comfortable, you get tired, you know, sooner. So like, okay, yeah.
Probably not as.
It may work.
You know, we're a lot more casual
on this shot than.
Yeah.
So the, our intensity is not as deliberate as it typically would be for a person.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. You want them out?
Yeah. You're out.
Okay.
That's a bright. That's a bright light.
Yeah. Well, we have to be able to see you.
Yep.
Otherwise, we don't want you to look underlit.
Yep.
And same as me too.
Yeah.
This light's pretty much
underlit.
A
little greasy.
Yeah.
He said you were in there doing eyelash stuff. I said that's what I was doing.
And I did tell him, I know when he came down, I said, just, I said, let him know that I do wear glasses. Cause I, okay. Cause I know we.
I put mine on periodically as well. Just to read stuff here and there.
Yeah.
And if you see me, like, if you're talking and you see me looking at my notes, don't let that stop you with your, response. Cause you're just kind of planning ahead to make sure I don't get stuck.
Yeah.
Where I don't know what I'm saying next kind of thing.
Okay. All right.
Because, my general ideas kind of are here, but a lot of times
The seal's better.
You know, you may get there before I get there.
Okay.
So then I have to use that brain of mine to work around that and find out what's going to be next kind of thing. So it's all very spontaneous, which I found it just makes the conversation part of this more natural.
Yeah.
Because in the beginning when I did these and I had, really specific questions.
Mm-hmm.
I felt very tied to those questions, not in the moment with everything, which is kind of what
I'm looking for. Really wanted to solve this,
and I really just really want it to be a conversation. Kind of like.
Merv, do you mind if I move your chair a little bit this way?
Which way?
I'm sorry to make you get up. You're fine.
Okay.
I'm just gonna have you.
Like it's like if I saw you at an airport and we just start talking and, what are you doing? And I was like, then it's like, where would that conversation go?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what this is. As far as the way I kind of see it, and so it's like it's okay to interrupt me, and
that's way better for me.
Okay, I'm gonna
obviously I'm not ever gonna try to interrupt you, but in a natural conversation way, if you say something that makes me laugh, I'm probably gonna laugh at you.
Yeah,
right.
Right. Right.
You say something that reminds me of something, and
I
may say, you know what, bring the. So that's just kind of the way it is. So I just don't, one thing I've noticed is like when it's this thing where I ask a question and you respond, and it becomes this formulated.
So okay.
Probably haven't done one of these in this way. Most people are in crazy mad hurry trying to get things done.
Yeah.
And I appreciate your patience. So
seriously.
That's okay.
We're trying to work around your just glasses.
I know. I know. We've done that where. You know, we had our pictures taken once we did our swearing in, and so it's the same thing.
On your cheekbone, right there, where your ring. There you go. It's gone. You see? Yeah, it's gone.
All right, but that was the same thing. Trying to figure out the glare.
They make them. They don't do that as much. I don't know what they're called, but I know. But I don't.
Yeah.
I don't really. I don't do mine that way. I don't typically wear mine when I'm.
Yeah.
I'm
getting to the point where,
how's that?
So I take them off to see close, and
like I can see this pretty well, but I can see it a lot better with that.
Yeah.
So
I have a pair of call them cheaters in the office.
Oh yeah.
So then there's been times when I'm wearing my glasses and I have my cheaters over them, and I'm wearing two pairs of glasses, So staff will come in and they'll be looking at me weird, and I'm like, I'm sorry.
At least you don't wear glasses and your last name is Seymour.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I've had it for about 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah.
I just need it for reading.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't need to drive or anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot.
No, I've had them for like 20, 20-some years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, growing up, and I didn't need glasses. I had excellent vision. I could see. And it was like after I start having children, and I'm like, there's something wrong. Yeah.
Murphy, so, can you move your mic cord to the other side because we're not seeing it in camera?
Yeah, do you want to handle it for me? Because my fingers are old and rusty, to say the least.
I think I'm going to raise the camera up a little bit. I think that will also help to bring it.
Okay. I'm just going to slide it over here.
And then I think we're
going to pick up the other right there.
Just we'll do that way. She's all lined back around here. So how many kids do you have?
Six.
You have six kids?
I have six children.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. My oldest one is 26. And then...
Do you have grandkids yet?
Three.
Yeah. Wow.
Three granddaughters.
You're busy.
Yeah. So from 26, then my youngest one is five.
Okay.
So they're all, they're spaced, you know, and each one had their time to be a baby. You know, they're not close together.
Wait, so how old is your youngest child?
Five.
Your youngest child is five. Mm-hmm. Wow. You were like, okay, 26 years later, let's do this again. Yeah.
So there's 26 and 23 Jeff, and then 22.
No. Take this mic.
16, I'm 11, and five.
Now, is that how you planned it? Or just
no. It just, happened. Then. Yeah. And it's two boys and a girl, and then there's that space, and then there's two boys and a girl.
Wow.
So I said I balanced it out.
Yeah. Did most people on the reservation have big families or separate?
I think in the past years we did have some big families, you know. And kind of went away for a while, and but you'll see some with about five, four, so.
Those are still pretty large families.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't see too many people having that many.
Yeah. And I come from a family of five.
Usually if you come from one like that, it tends to be what you end up doing.
So, six. Yeah. And then my oldest son has three daughters.
Oh, wow.
So when he started having children, then it was just three daughters, just boom, 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 and,
Did he marry another Menominee?
She is Oneida and Menominee. She's enrolled Oneida, but Menominee. So, and then the three are adults, so they're all, doing good things. He works with small engines at one of the local businesses in town, and my other son is a BIA certified correctional officer at our tribal jail. Mm-hmm. And then my daughter is a teacher in our school district.
Oh, wow.
So, they're all...
What level is she teaching?
Ninth grade English, I believe it is.
My mom was an English teacher.
Oh, yeah?
Hence my incredible articulation.
Yeah.
I got yelled at in proper English when my mom
Give me 1 second. Can I just adjust your mic real quick? I'm just going to turn this in a little bit so it's kind of facing out. There we go.
Okay.
So, are you a Packer fan?
Oh, yeah.
Is everybody up here a Packer fan?
No. We have a couple that are Cowboys and Vikings and Bears. And
really?
Yeah. Yeah, we have a couple. I went to one.
I've been there a couple times. Mm-hmm. My buddy's a general manager for the Detroit Lions.
Nice.
So he got me tickets to go.
Yeah.
I think in 2021, I think I went.
Mm-hmm.
And I went a long time ago. I used to work in Milwaukee, and I did stories there when they mm-hmm. remodeled. And remember that? I don't know if you remember they remodeled Lambeau Field.
Okay.
We did it, kind of modernizing it, mm-hmm. keeping it traditional.
Yeah.
Because it's like there's no bad seat in that stadium. It's a beautiful stadium.
Yeah. Yeah, we went to one game a few years ago, so mm-hmm. it was nice. It was our first time in. I'm like, we watch the games every Sunday, but to be in the stadium, that's just another level of excitement, you know?
As long as it's not too cold, because I don't believe in that cold weather.
Yeah. We went in the earlier part of the year, so we had the rainy weather.
Yeah.
So.
I'll take the rain over the cold.
Yeah. we were wearing rain jackets.
Okay. All right.
So it wasn't too cold.
Yeah.
So,
And you live here on the reservation?
I do.
Is that mandatory for your position, or is that?
Yes, yep, for the position here.
Okay, so let's see what's going on here. Testing 1, 2, mic test, testing 1, 2.
Oh, yeah, you got it, that's fine.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah. No problem.
We just wanna make sure everything looks its best.
Yep, no problems.
I think we're ready, I think we're, let me just plug this in, yep, now I'm here. Try it one more time, or?
Testing 1, 2, mic test, testing 1, 2.
I'm good.
So the way this kinda starts, I'll just kinda say, welcome to InFocus, thanks for joining us, and you can say, you know, thanks for having me, however you wanna say it.
Okay.
Then we just start chatting.
Okay.
And then when we get near the end, I'll usually say, I might say last question more than one time.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, you know, that answer leads to one more little thing that I feel like I need to get in.
Yeah, okay.
But in general, when I get to that point, that means I'm about to wrap it up. And then at some point, I'll just say, you know, I'll kind of repeat your title and name and say thank you for making time. And, and then I'll say, well, wait a minute at the end.
All right.
If I remember to say it properly.
Yeah, okay.
All right, we're ready, Mark.
You guys are all set.
On you.
All right. Chairman Gina Kekek, welcome to InFocus.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here with you.
Well, we've been working on this, and I've been dabbling in the local language here. So,
okay.
Poso?
Poso?
Yes.
Yeah,
means
good.
Hello.
Yes.
Welcome. Kind of a hello, I was told.
Yep. Yep, you got that right.
And I also learned, I think, Topnak. Is that how you say it? Did I say that right?
Top knot.
It's supposed to be what's up.
Yeah.
How do you say that?
That one I'm not sure.
Oh,
that
I see. Because you're not, you know, the thing is, I would never address a tribal chair that
yeah.
way. But I thought I would impress you by my local knowledge of slang that Lord Friesen taught me as we were waiting to get started.
Okay.
We'll forget about that part.
Yeah.
I'd love to just start with a little bit about just in a historical perspective. Because this is an opportunity for you and us to speak to a statewide audience. But what is it about the Menominee Tribe you think that folks need to know about the culture, the life, and the relationship with the community outside of the reservation?
Okay. So I think it's important to know that the Menominee Tribe are the original people of Wisconsin. Our creation story begins at the mouth of the Menominee River. And it's just a short drive from here. And we've been here for tens of thousands of years. And so I think that's important for people to be aware of. And we have been blessed to be able to stay on our original homeland.
How much do you think folks outside the reservation know about the culture? Because I think about this in terms of like, you know, outside of, you know, dabbling at a casino across the country on a reservation, I've probably never been on a Native reservation. And I would say as a reporter, I live somewhat of a privileged life and get to be exposed to a lot of different things. And I would think that there are a lot of people across the state who don't get a chance to come on tribal lands. But how much do you think folks outside the tribal lands know about the community here?
I don't know if the outside of the reservation is very knowledgeable or fully aware of what we do, what we're about, who we are, what we offer. And we are seeing that next generation of tribal members come into leadership roles and the importance of being able to tell our story and having that story come from us as Menominee people. And so we're seeing that change and the importance of educating people in that we're still here and we're the original people and we're still on our original homeland.
How important is that relationship with the outside community?
How important is what? Say that again, sorry.
How important is that relationship with the outside community to have a connection to it as well, as well as the folks here on the reservation?
Well, I think it's very important because we're neighbors, and we should be working together and supporting together. And we all live within the state of Wisconsin, and to have good relationships with neighboring counties and businesses and is, you know, beneficial for all of us.
Do you feel like Wisconsin as a whole is doing a good job in terms of paying attention to folks that live on in native lands?
I think that there's been, in the more recent, you know, past few years, that there's been more acknowledgement of the indigenous people that live in Wisconsin.
That's a good thing, right?
Yes, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about your journey into tribal politics.
Okay.
How did you know that this was going to be a space for you that, that you want to commit your life to?
Okay.
How did it start for
you? So, I don't know if it is something that, as Menominee, that we want to be doing or grow to be doing. I think it's something greater than that. I think it's our something that's instilled with us that it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to take on those teachings that have been passed on through generations, and to be able to guide and support one another. And so when the decision was made, it's a family decision for me, because we're a very family-orientated family, and we do a lot of things with our children, and we're very active with their lives. My husband, well, with for me personally, with my husband, and so we had to make that decision because we knew it would be an impact on the family, with the children, and.
But I read that you started working in tribal government really early, like in your teen years.
One of the first jobs I had was within our tribal chairman's office back in the early 90s. And so I think that just kind of stuck with me throughout life. And
it was something important to you to
when it was time to make that decision, you know, bringing it to my family and discussing it with them. And is this something that you think, you know, we should do? They're very supportive. And it's been an honor to be seated up here with the fellow leaders of the tribe. And I try and make the best decision that I can. You know, I'll do my homework and I'll make sure that the getting the background historical information and A lot of prayers go into it, asking for that strength and that guidance, so that making sure we're making the right decision for the betterment of our people.
I'm curious to know how you would describe the community environment here in terms of the people, the family, like the things that everybody tends to have in common. How would you describe that?
I think our community is we're a very communal community, I guess. We have relationships with everyone. We're very close-knit, supportive of each other, and we, you know, we do look at that as we're all related. We're all Menominee, so it's a very close-knit communal space, I guess, for us.
Yeah, and this tribal chair. A lot of folks outside may not understand that that's the equivalent of being the president,
right,
of a land. Mm-hmm. I'd be remiss if I wouldn't ask someone in your position to maybe give us a sense of the state of things for the Menominee tribe right now in Wisconsin.
Okay. So that is something. We are a sovereign nation, and that's exactly it, that it's the chairperson of the tribe is equivalent to the president of the United States. We do have relationships that we keep government-to-government relationships with tribal, other tribal nations, state level and federal. So I think right now for our tribe, like a lot of tribes, we are still seeing the impacts of the pandemic. We're looking at a lot of different issues with, you know, behavior health and our youth and homeless and AODA issues. We're seeing that being coming out of the pandemic being related to that, an increase in those types of issues.
And how you're addressing it?
Mm-hmm. And we have teams in place. We have committee work that gets done, and we did get the help of, you know, the ARPA funding. We do have assistance through different grants. We have teams in place. We have a great team of grant writers. But there's issues that we have a number of, I guess, unmet needs that we struggle with.
What are those, you think?
AODA issues, homelessness. We have a large population of elderly, and a facility for our aging that we need to expand on. We have, you know, healthcare that is looking for, hopefully at some point, a new healthcare facility. Our youth, we support our youth as much as possible to try and make sure that we're being able to offer them the prevention and, you know, intervention for AODA issues. I think one thing that we are seeing, AODA issues.
That stands for
alcohol and other drug abuse.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And I also read too that, you know, not just here on tribal lands, but throughout Menominee County, you know, the health outcomes in this county are the worst of any county in the state.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is uniquely different about what's causing that here in the Menominee land?
Well, there's only one Menominee tribe. And when we look at the data to our per capita, it is alarmingly concerning. We have our enrollment of close to 9,000 members. And I know our elderly population alone is almost as big as some small tribes. We are one of the larger tribes in the state of Wisconsin, and we're ranked with health outcomes the least healthiest in the state of Wisconsin. And so there's, again, like a lot of our unmet needs that we're trying to address with limited resources.
I understand the biggest concerns got to deal with the drug addiction and different health outcomes and education and those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
How bad is it?
So our issue with the opioid epidemic for Menominee, opioid use is ranked in the top three substance abuse for Menominee. And it may not seem, let me back up a little bit.
Start that over.
Okay.
I'll just ask you, let's start over with what the question is.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about, you know, the health outcomes in terms of mm-hmm. marijuana use, overall drug use, mm-hmm. and education dropout, those sorts of things are mm-hmm. Some of the worst numbers out there.
Mm-hmm.
How bad is it?
Okay, so for Menominee, opioid is in the top three of the substance abuse within our community. In 2023, we had a 76% contributed to the deaths of opioid. So again, like when I'm talking about our per capita, that was 17 total deaths, but that's high for us.
Right, that sounds like
that sounds
a small number, but
right.
If you've only got, you know, 8,700 folks
right.
in your tribe.
That's high. So some things that we are looking at is we've developed a drug intervention team, and it's a multidisciplinary group of people from within our community, and they're working towards creating those plans to address what we're dealing with, and some of that includes prevention and intervention activities within the community. What else do they have in there? Training for clinical and peer workforce, bringing in peer specialists, recovery coaches. Community members have also taken the initiative to start their own recovery groups. And so if we're able to support them in any way, you know, that team is available to help them with moving their plans forward too.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere you made a comment saying we've done the research, we've seen the data. What needs to happen now?
Mm-hmm. I think what we're hearing from our community, because we continue to meet with our tribal members, we continue to hear from them, and one thing that we're hearing a lot of is they want prevention, they want intervention. Since the pandemic, you know, like I had said, we're moving out of that, but it's taken a little longer to bring those things back into light again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had that all in place prior, and so we're hearing from the community they want more prevention activities, and so that's something that we are working towards.
And we know you have, and I hope I say this proper, the Manawakian Wellness Center? Am I saying that the right way? Excuse me.
The Manasekia?
Manasekia.
Manasekia.
I worked on that
for
an hour before we started this interview.
Yeah.
But we know you, do treatment there, and you serve the people in that way, but I know you would like to expand that, and there was a recent attempt to open up a new treatment center off the reservation, and that was not approved by the folks in that community off reservation. Why is it important to open something up off the reservation?
So are we talking about the Great Lakes? The Great Lakes Intertribal Council Youth Center?
Yes.
Okay. So we are looking at, you know, tribes are collaborating together, and we are looking at we're moving towards a youth treatment facility that all youth from tribal nations are welcome, and so it's not centralized anywhere, but it's off reservation where it can be open to all Indigenous youth that may need that assistance.
How do you get the folks outside the reservation again to care about these types of issues and to be vested with you? How do you do that?
I think a big part of it is education. I think that, you know, building those relationships and helping to educate on what our needs are and how we can work together. Because it's not just within reservations, it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it doesn't just impact us here in Menominee. It doesn't just impact, you know, other relatives on other reservations. It's the entire state, so we have to come together and work together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I know in Menominee and the Spirit Lake tribes in North Dakota have filed a lawsuit against some of the social media companies for issues around damage done to teens that mm-hmm. use social media. And I know you can't talk about the lawsuit specifically, mm-hmm. but can you speak to your concerns about the impact of social media on you and your community?
So we did join the litigation, and our legal team that's working with that, I would refer you to them so they can schedule a time to sit with you and have a further conversation.
Yeah. You can't speak to your concerns about social media mm-hmm. in general, not necessarily naming mm-hmm. anybody or speaking with anybody specifically, but.
So personally, for me, with my own children, you know, there's concerns. We do limit their time. We limit their screen time. And try and make sure that we have a healthy connection to it. I don't think it's going away. But as their parents, it's our responsibility to make sure they understand and are aware of being able to handle things in a healthy way.
Yeah.
So we try and raise our kids in a good way and make sure that they're aware of anything that might be dangerous or at risk or, you know, and that's personally for my family, you know, with our kids. Yeah.
It seems like for a lot of communities, there's always this concern about, you know, culture, you know, historical traditions as they kind of come together with technology and innovation.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that is in play in terms of like technology infringing on tradition for the Menominee tribe?
Mm-hmm. So I guess it would be on what we would consider infringing, I guess. It's for example, I'm going to share an example with you. We have a grassroots movement, Menominee U, and it started throughout the pandemic, and it has grown, and they offer Menominee language online. So there's people all over that are able to log on and learn. So that's a benefit. You know, that's helpful for people who may not have had the opportunity. So now they can go online and do it.
Yeah.
So it's. I mean, it can be helpful.
Mm-hmm. But tradition has to be important for, mm-hmm. you know, for your community. I would imagine, mm-hmm. like holding on to it, and mm-hmm. and like you mentioned language. Like I know there's a dwindling population of folks that speak the native tongue
mm-hmm.
Here on the reservation. Like, how do you address those sorts of things?
I think by supporting the initiatives and the efforts that are there. And we see a positive change, and we do see an increase, and there's more people wanting to learn that language. And part of that language is also learning culture and traditions that are connected to it. And so it's important for me to stay connected to our culture and traditions. It helps me to stay grounded and stay balanced.
Can you give us a snapshot in terms of how prevalent the native language is here, in terms of how many folks mm-hmm. still speak mm-hmm. it and use it?
Mm-hmm. It's limited, but it's growing. So you can go into a store and you can hear people speaking and having conversations. And so it is growing to where it's being normalized. It's being normalized again in the community.
That has to bring you some joy, right?
It is. It's a powerful feeling. And it's just an amazing feeling.
Do you worry ever about it going away and no one speaking the language at some point? Like, is it headed in that direction at all?
I hope not. I hope not. And we have to be able to do our part. we have with my own children. My son, who's in high school, committed to a 2-year program for the youth immersion program. Our 5-year-old daughter, we put her into the immersion program. And as a family, we take the online Menominee language classes, so we have to do our part.
I'm curious to know, as chairperson, how do you handle all these weights, mm-hmm. these heavy weights of these issues that you're coping with and trying to manage and solve? How do mm-hmm. you handle all that? How does that hit you personally?
It can be exhausting. It can be exhausting knowing the weight and the responsibility. But I'm not alone. There's 9 of us on our tribal council. We all are very supportive to one another. We agree to disagree. We are able to share that workload. We have a management team that is also helpful and supportive. And so when we need decisions made, it's not just coming from myself or, you know, it's a collaborative effort of all of us. And again, that's what I mean when I say that it's the responsibility when we're in these leadership roles that we work together and we make those decisions together and we're doing what we can in the best interest of the Menominee people and a tribe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was interested to find in your role as chairperson, mm-hmm. you're in this capacity in these 1-year terms.
Mm-hmm.
So every year you're having to be voted in.
Mm-hmm.
Is that enough time? I mean, it's like, you know, you think of a presidency and mm-hmm. the leadership in our typical U.S. government.
Yeah.
I think we would love to, if we could get a new president every year.
Yeah.
But do you feel like, does that work in your favor? Or is mm-hmm. it tougher to get things done in that short kind of a space? Because mm-hmm. in what term are you on right now?
So I am in my second term as chairperson, my second year as chairperson. And I'm in my second term as a seated legislator. So I finished one term, just a 3-year term,
mm-hmm.
Reelected, and coming into my second term, then I was voted on to be the chairperson last year. And then again this year, the ask was if I would continue. And it's been exhausting work, like I said, but it's helpful because I'm not doing it alone.
Yeah. So my question would be, this short mm-hmm. term that mm-hmm. you know, that I see, is that helping you get more things done, mm-hmm. or is it making it harder to get things done?
I think within the first year, it was difficult because it was also a learning for me. It was also trying to find my flow, I guess, you know. And so that first year was a little bit more difficult. Coming into the second year has been a little bit more easier. And there wasn't that transition, I guess, that takes some time to keep moving on.
Yeah.
So I think it would be interesting with the new generation of legislators that are coming in. You know, we are seeing that it is difficult with only a 1-year term, and if the body would agree to continue that chairperson in the role throughout that chair's legislative term, I guess, it might be more productive for us, you know.
I'd also be curious to hear you maybe give your insight in the differences between a tribal government versus a typical U.S. government, like how that works and what people should understand.
Mm-hmm.
What sticks
out? Yeah, that one So I think within our tribal government, our priorities are our elders and our youth. Those are two groups that we tend to always focus on to make sure that they're being taken care of, making sure that they're being provided for. I don't know if that happens in the federal government or the state government. But for our tribal nation, that's our focus, is our elders and our youth.
Yeah, and what's going well for the Monada tribe?
I think we have a lot of things to be proud of and a lot of things that are happening. We are have a lot of services that we're able to provide to our membership. And although we're we are heavily dependent on grants, we're not by any means any of the richest tribes. We have a small, modest tribal budget, but it all goes back into our services to make sure that services are provided for the membership.
Yeah, and you bring up money. I know the Menominee and other Native tribes here in the state of Wisconsin receive a piece of the opioid settlement. I think it's roughly $6-7 million split around the different tribes. How is that helping in terms of dealing with some of the problems?
So we did receive opioid settlement funds, and we are using those to assist us with combating some of the more serious, I guess, issues, making sure that we have those things in place, like the clinical staff that's competitive all over, not just here, everywhere, you know. And we're collaborating with outside agencies to try and assist with counseling services, referrals, treatment services. And so what we are receiving is going right back into helping us combat the opioid addiction.
Yeah, I take it you're big on treatment, not necessarily punishment when it comes to addiction.
Right, yeah. I don't think we can criminalize someone who is struggling with addiction. They're asking for support, you know. I think what I've seen with how it's affected, I guess, myself and my family, where loved ones that we know, and it's that looking for a purpose and feeling that self-esteem, feeling valuable, and helping through their traumas and meeting them where they're at. And if that means, you know, walking through the doors with them to treatment and just giving them that support.
And you mentioned trauma. How much has this community been affected by generational trauma? And what kind of things would that be?
Yeah. So we deal with trauma, and we do our best to try and practice trauma-informed care. There's things that we're seeing since the pandemic with the increase of the opioid addictions, and our children are losing parents. Our children are being raised by grandparents. Our children are witnessing overdoses. Our children are needing education and prevention and intervention services at a younger age. And I think it's important for us to address them as soon as we can. And that's always, I guess, for me, that's been a concern, because I come from working in our school district, and starting to see the young ones being affected by the addictions and the overdoses. I was like, okay, but when they're getting into high school, are we prepared for how this is going to impact their lives? So I think it's really important that we address those as soon as we can.
Let's talk the future. What does the future look like for the Menominee tribe? What do you see?
I'm always hopeful. And I see us always moving forward and always progressing. And we have a lot of things going for us. We've done studies on within our educational department, and keeping the data of how many graduates we have from up to a bachelor's and a master's and doctorates, and so it's a very proud, something to be very proud of, that we have that here, and we'll continue to grow. We'll continue to progress forward, and it's going to be exciting, you know, for my kids, because I can see the changes happening, and it's going to be a better life and a better opportunity for them when they become adults.
And why do you care so much?
I think that's part of our Menominee values that come with us, is you always try and make sure that things are taken care of for the next generations.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Chairwoman Kakak, thank you so much for being in focus with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Want to weigh in?
Yeah. Why weigh in?
I knew I was going to mess that up.
Why weigh in?
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Appreciate you.
Okay.
That was awesome.
Okay.
I learned a lot.
And I didn't need this.
You didn't need it.
One time.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. I knew you wouldn't need it. Yeah. Unless we got the talking.
Yeah.
Because it's just not a typical kind of, it's just a different, more casual kind of a thing.
Yep.
Which is what I'm always looking for.
Yeah.
And I just felt it was important to kind of educate people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I just don't get a chance to sit and talk with a tribal chair like this very often. I've done this for 35 years, and probably the first time I've ever sat in. I may have done it one other time.
Yeah.
I had a story out in California where there was a an inner battle going on with this tribe I forget, it's because it's been about 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a little like violence. It was in Northern California. I forget the name of the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go there, and it made national news at the time. This was back around 95 or 96, 97, somewhere in there.
Okay.
And that might be the only time I've ever spent a lot of time on tribal lands reporting.
Yeah.
So, but I appreciate you being straightforward and, conversational with me.
All right.
I think you need them, but.
Just relax, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, yeah.
Oh, okay, I was just curious. I mean, the U.S. and Wisconsin, if I'm not mistaken, have never had a female leader.
Mm-hmm.
So have there been a series of female chair ones?
Yeah, so for Menominee, I think I am the fifth or sixth Menominee woman chairperson.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So do you feel as much, like, that doesn't seem, do you feel ever any resistance among male elders? wires, or do you, or is that seems to be just like that, you know, members of the tribe are okay with having a woman in charge in a way that maybe other people aren't.
Yeah. I don't know really how, I guess some of our male leaders from previous would have felt about it. But I think being in leadership in this role, it is a male dominant, area, you know, but it's important to have women also have a voice. And that's one thing I had shared with some of the other leaders previously when we were going through our reorganization, is to, with our executive team, that's our chairperson, our vice chair, and our secretary, just, I guess the way I felt about it is to have a female within the executive to bring balance. It's important that we have that balance. And so I didn't realize that I would be sitting there.
Yeah. He's got me curious now in terms of like comparing it to a typical U.S. government where, you know, we have a female president yet. But I'm just curious, is the dynamic the same as it is in typical U.S. ways in terms of, you know, man and woman relationships and, you know, that kind of thing?
I think with our culture and our traditions, I think our women are held at a higher respect. And our women are highly respected and honored. And so it's humbling, I guess, to be sitting here. It's humbling to be on the executive team the last 4 years, I think it's been. So
I was gonna say, like, sitting in this space, you know, with your seal and their flag and the American flag, and knowing what goes on in this space, what kind of sense does that give you in terms of what you've accomplished and the overall importance of what you're doing?
I don't know. I guess when I think about my very first meeting I had here, and this was my first seat on this desk. And the next meeting, we were going into the pandemic, so we went into shutdown. So I remember sitting there thinking, like, I didn't even have time to take this in, like, I'm sitting here, you know? So it was quite the transition, I guess, but...
And what kind of things are, like, decided in this room? Like, what kind of things are you guys solving?
Well, we did have our meeting last night, and that was a late one. But, you know,
12:30 in the morning, I heard?
PM start? I think it was more like 11:30.
Okay.
Yeah.
11:30, 12:30. Still. Yeah.
That's still late. Yeah, it was still late. But, you know, we look at the land leases, people, tribal members who are looking to, you know, build a home. They're going to need a space, and that would come to us where we would approve that lease for them. Our enrollment, when a person is coming to be enrolled in the tribe, once it goes through the committee process, and then it would come here, and we would approve those recommendations from the committee, and if there's amendments to any of our codes or our laws, you know, from our language license, things we had last night were, you know, animals. We've taken on issues on junk vehicles, you know, and attack dogs, being breed specific, and making sure that we're making the right decisions so that the safety is going to be taken care of for the membership.
And do I understand, like, unlike U.S. government, say, official type folks, mm-hmm. not all your meetings are open to the public, or how does that work?
So we do have an annual general council that is the meeting for the membership. And during that time, you know, if they wanted to have only tribal members there, then yeah, the non-tribal members in public would have to leave then. And that's their right as Menominee people.
Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff.
Yeah.
I have one more question, I'm sorry.
And I'll ask it, and that way she can
okay,
me.
Okay,
no,
so, okay.
You say it, and then I'll just repeat it.
Yeah, I was just curious about this since I was learning.
Hold on, you want to sit here?
you want to run the camera? Yeah. You got all these cameras in your house.
Go ahead,
Jenny. No, so I was learning from Lloyd that there's a big celebration around the sturgeon in this time of year, mm-hmm. Harvest in this time of year, kind of after winter is sort of wrapping up. And mm-hmm. maybe, I, you know, that's the first I learned about it with the Menominee tribe, and maybe just talk about that celebration and just the history okay. of it and the importance of it. If there's anything mm-hmm. else to elaborate on there. That,
do I have to repeat that? Because I don't know if I can remember that.
Mainly just looking for information about the sturgeon. Oh, yeah, because you were on camera.
Yeah, what's the couple? Say it again.
So basically, I'm just wondering about the history of the spring celebration, right? Or like sort of
the sturgeon feast.
Sturgeon feast, yeah.
Sturgeon feast?
Celebration.
Okay. So, Chairwoman, maybe you can give us a little history on the sturgeon feast that's going on this time of year.
Okay. So, we recently had our sturgeon feast celebration, and it happens once a year in the month of April. The DNR provides us with, a number of sturgeon, and they're released into the Chickenee Creek by the Kushina Falls area. We have, prayers and songs that are done, and then they're taken out for the feast. And then we have a one-day powwow celebration and dance, and then the food is prepared, and everyone is able to join us within the feast. And I think what's important to know about that is the Kushina Falls is the original spawning ground of the sturgeon. The dams were put up south of here, and they have not been able to return to their original spawning ground since. And so I know there's talk and work to look at removal or a fish passage to allow them to return to the original spawning ground. The importance of that too is with our ancestors and through our traditions, what stories that we've been told is after those long winter months, this season is what provided nutrients for us coming into the next season. So they're a very important piece of our history and our culture.
So celebrating sturgeon mm-hmm. feast is a big part of, of history and culture.
And yes, because that's part of our stories. Unfortunately, we have to ask for the fish. We have to ask for them, and then they're offered, they're delivered to us, and
so that part of the river has to be stocked with them?
They'll bring them and they'll deliver them in the creek area for the feast, specifically for the feast. So then we have tribal members who know how to properly care for them and take them out, and then they'll smoke the fish throughout the week to prepare it for the feast.
Yeah, that's part of that whole clash of history and I say, not necessarily technology, but just evolution, I guess. That has to, it has to kind of hurt to kind of have to do it that way versus the way, the old way, I guess.
Yep.
Is that a direct result of the building of those dams?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, and I know we've had the dam conversations for many years, you know, and I remember the first time I witnessed the sturgeon being put in. My oldest son was about 2 years old, and thinking at one time, like, he's going to be able to see them spawn here. He's going to be able to see them come home. Because this is their home. This is where their original spawning ground is.
Wow, there's so many little pieces of history that we don't even think about that probably have been chiseled away over time.
Yeah, and I know this morning we were watching the news, and they're spawning right now at the Shawano Dam. And there's TV stations there, and they're interviewing different people and looking at it as a spectacle, and come see how many hundreds of them are here, and it's sad.
Yeah.
It's sad, you know, because here's their original spawning ground. Here's where they should be.
How long has that tradition been lost from the original way that it was done?
Since the dams went up.
Wow. And I imagine there's all kinds of little pieces of history like that that take place that that you kind of cope with, I guess. Probably never get comfortable with that, I take it.
No. Yeah, that's just some of the, you know, other pieces of the historical trauma that we deal with.
So it's ongoing?
It's ongoing generational trauma. And, you know, to be able to heal from that, we have to be able to reclaim our culture and our traditions, our language, our identities.
Are you as a community getting there, you think?
I think so. We're seeing a growth in our people wanting to know about their culture, people wanting to learn traditional arts and crafts, people wanting to learn the language. So we're getting there.
That's got to be a good feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, that is.
Yeah. That's good stuff. We're in overtime right now.
Yeah, sorry.
Ron, do you got anything else?
No.
Excuse me, do you have the winning lottery?
These series aren't too long enough to hide another question.
Do you have the winning lottery numbers?
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay, well, thank you.
That was incredible.
I hope that's...
No, it's awesome. It's awesome to be able to sit and chat without having to be in a rush and feel like you're under... Like I said, it's... I was telling Lloyd, like, sometimes you just feel like you don't... You don't want to ask a silly question, but if you don't know, you don't know.
Right.
And like, for me, I learn better when I'm just immersed into that environment. You know, so I walk away, you know, learning things that I just didn't know. And then just, you know, feeling comfortable enough to just ask what may be a silly question.
I don't think any question is a silly question, or any question isn't the wrong question, you know, because if you don't know, you need to ask.
Well, at least like to say, well, I don't know this, like me trying to, like, look, I'm gonna blame Lloyd on that one. Lloyd is teaching me how to say what's up. And I'm thinking, well, I would never say what's up to a president. So why would I be, so you know what, I want Fryson out of here. He's been a good guy, but on that one he failed us all.
All right,
yeah, I'm good, we're good.
Okay.
One more clap, okay. Can you see it on your camera?
Yeah, I'm good. There, you see it on the pretty black and white.
Yep. Oh no, on the wide. Yeah, sorry. Okay. All right.
But he did bring me up to speed on all the little. Because when he first emailed me, he